We're going to look at that and see what Timothy and the teaching here through the scripture and learn what it is and how we can apply it to our life and make those decisions to follow Jesus. And as Jameson said in his prayer, to worship him, follow him, regardless of what's facing us in life, regardless of what we're going through or what's going on in the battles that we have, you can understand that you can follow Jesus. He's the one that you can follow. He won't leave you nor forsake you. There are some times that we feel, you know, he's so far away, but understand he's always as close as your heart. If you made Jesus Lord of your life, he resides in you. And so we want to talk about the king today. The king shepherds his people, 1 Timothy 4, and we'll look at verses 1 through 16. Go with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the worship service, Lord. Thank you that, God, it was upbeat and it's lively, Lord. And God, I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve one that's live and well, one that's risen, the Lord, one that's raised victorious over death, hell, in the grave. And God, so many times we walk around as defeated people, defeated Christians, the Lord, and defeated in this old world. But God, we don't have to be defeated. We can live victoriously because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God, I pray today that, Lord, whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, whatever trials are coming our way or the trials that we're in today, that God, we can make them as a stepping stone, God, that we can walk out of here refreshed, revived, and renewed, and Father, energized, and say it's been good to be in the house of God, the Lord, that we can take the songs that we've heard and the message through the words, God, that we can apply it to our life. And God, I pray as we open up your word that you anoint the reading of your word. God, it's your word. God, I pray that your anointing will be upon it, the Lord. God, that you would fill me with the power in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. God, give me the words that you desire me to say, the message that you've laid upon my heart to bring and deliver. And God, I pray that it would be pleasing and honoring to you. God, it's all about you. And Lord, we just want to serve you, worship you in spirit and in truth today. God, we ask you to bind up demonic forces, the Lord, and the demons and the devil himself. Keep him at bay. He's not welcome here or wanted here, God. And let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move in our hearts and our lives today. God, we give this service to you. And God, we pray with the reading of your word that God, we will be convicted where we need to be convicted at. And God, that your word will cut as it says it does where it needs to cut and pierce where it needs to pierce. God, that will bring us all closer to you. God, we're just going to thank you in advance for your reading of your word and your anointing of your word. We give it to you, and we pray your blessings on it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's look at verses 1 through 16 in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says this. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. There are certain things that I want to talk about and point out today, but one of the things is that the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit, and thank God for his Spirit in our lives, and it is the Spirit of God that reveals things to us. It's the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that resides in us, that convicts us, that makes us who we are and what we are to be. And it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that is, in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And my friend, that's the time we're living in today. Amen. Some that are departing from the faith, some that are preaching heresy, some that are preaching doctrines of devils and in the pulpits and things of that nature. It says, speaking lie in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from the meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which what? Believe. Who's that talking about? Are y'all with me? Say amen. Are y'all awake? You know how I operate around here. Y'all got y'all's Bible open? Y'all reading it? Y'all with me? You awake? Look at your partner and say, wake up. Say, wake up. Are you going to interject with me? Are you going to be energized with me? Say amen. If not, I'll walk out the door and leave it to y'all. Amen. Let's go. Let's get with it. We in the house of God. Amen. The church of God. We ought to be excited. My lands, we just sing 3 exciting songs and prayed about 4 or 5 times. You ought to be charged up by now. Good. One person's excited about it. Come on. Let's get with a program around here. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. He's alive and well, and he resides in me. What about you? Amen. That sounds much better right there. You with me now. All right. Okay. We're here. Alright, having her conscience seared with a hot iron in verse 2. And verse 3 says, forbidden to marry, and commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which?
Please.
Amen. And know the truth, for every creature of God is what?
Good,
and nothing to be refused, if it be received with what? Thanksgiving. For it is sanctified. It is sanctified. It's consecrated by the word of God and what?
Prayer.
If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto what? Godliness. For bodily exercise, some of y'all love this one. For bodily exercise profited little. Who wants to exercise? Amen. The bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is what? Profitable to all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is the faithful saying and worthy of acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. What do we serve? A living God. He is what? He's alive, and he's alive and well, and it should be where? In us, in you and me. Amen. I'm glad y'all are there. He's alive and well. We trust in a living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that what?
Believe.
These things command and teach. He's telling them, command and teach. Paul's instructing Timothy, helping Timothy out. Command and teach these things. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to the exhortation, to the doctrine. Commit it to practice. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands and of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear me. And hear thee. When I thought about this, I thought about the king and shepherding his people. The king teaches his people to stand for the truth. Here we see that Paul was instructing Timothy, and we got these verses in Timothy talking about standing for the truth, because, my friend, there's a day, and we could be living in that very day now, where people don't want to hear the truth, where people don't want to hear the word of God, where people don't want to stand up. And my friend, be accounted for it. They just want to go with what's politically correct, and what's politically correct ain't scripturally true. Amen. And it's time that we stand on the word of God. It's time that we take a stand and do what God's word tells us to do. We see here that, as I said, the king teaches the people to stand for the truth. Look back with me at verses 1-5. Look with me here, and we're gonna break these words down, because the king does what? He teaches the truth, right? Y'all with me? Amen? You follow me? Say amen. All right, look back. Amen. Look back at verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times sons shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. When it's talking about seducing spirits, it's talking about deceiving spirits. My friend, we are living in that day and age. We're living in that time. Not only were we, but they were living back in the times of the Bible, my friends. Paul was warning Timothy of things to come. They penned it down for you and me so it'd be a blessing to us. When you look at verse 1, there's some things I want you to see. In verse 1 it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Expressly means clearly. My friend, God's word is clear. It's black, it's right, white, or it's red. There is no in between God's word. God's word is clear, and we got a clear mandate by him that we should be delivering, we should be speaking, we should be preaching and telling others about. We are all ministers of him. Some of us are called and ordained and set aside. But my friends, when you are saved as a child of God and God resides in your heart, you are a minister of the word. You are a minister of God. You are a minister of what God tells us to. And it's time that we stand up and be accounted for and minister the way that God designs and desires for us to minister to. And I see that word. I see speak of expressly. It means clearly. And then you go on and it says that in the later times, some shall depart from faith. When it talks about depart, it means turning over to a state of apostasy. Apostasy, deliberately, my friend, denying God. Once was saved, on fire, living for the Lord. But depart from the faith, meaning totally say, I don't want nothing to do with the Lord. I don't want nothing to do with Scripture. Turning over to a state of apostasy. And my friends, you see that today, where people walk out on God and never, you can't reach them. They don't want to come back. And they walk out on Him. And they walk out on Him for some silly and foolish things in life, my friend, because God has never done me nothing but good. And most of the time when people walk out and they leave, they walk out because somebody has offended them. Somebody has hurt them. My friends, listen to me. Take what I've started to get on that thing and roll slap out the door. Listen to me. It don't matter what it is. I'm going to get on it anyhow. It don't matter what it is. My friend, when people do that, I'm going to back it up here. When people come up to you, my friend, they won't stomp on you, be mean and treat you and aggravate you. I'll buy you another one if I mess it up, Miss Catherine. But my friend, they want to step on you and beat you up. And not only that, my friend, they depart from that. When they depart, listen to me. When people get away from the Word of God, when they get out of prayer, when they get out of preaching God's Word, when they get out of teaching God's Word, and they depart from that, they become evil and mean-spirited individuals that you don't want to be around anyhow. And my friend, there's so many times people turn into that. But I'm telling you right now, don't let them people affect you. Don't let them people rob you of your joy. Because if they're doing that to your life, they're doing exactly what the devil intended for them to do to you. And that's to rob you of your joy. That's to defeat you. That's to get you down. That's to beat you. And I don't blame you. I don't want to be around the people either. So I'm glad you're here. Amen. Oh, they beat you down. But listen to me. When they do, my friend, take that opportunity. Stand up strong. If I was that tall, I could see all y'all sleeping. I think I'm going to preach right here today. They're going to spin right here, bump your neighbor, say, you better not snore today. Even if it is a woman, bump her. Amen. Y'all get it in a little bit. Amen. Y'all a bunch of thuddly duds today. Y'all a bunch of dead Christians today, and I'm trying to preach and already sweating, took off my tie and unloosed everything else, and I still can't get y'all to listen. Listen. Take what they do, my friend. Take what they do and take what they say and make it a stepping stone and keep on going. Amen. Make it a stepping stone. Keep on going. I'll clean it up in a little bit, Miss Catherine. Take it a step. I don't want to get in no trouble with Miss Catherine. She'll whoop me. But I'm saying they depart. They depart from it. And they depart from the faith that they knew. It said in doctrines of the devils. It said giving heed to seducing, deceiving spirits of the doctrines of the devil. Doctrines that are taught by demons, my friend. Listen to me. What happened to the devil and a third of the angels that got kicked out of heaven? Where are they at? They're down here running around and preaching heresy, my friend. And some of them, unfortunately, are in the pulpits speaking nothing but demonic forces against the Word of God and don't stand on it. My friend, mark them, you should know them. Oh, listen to me. It says those that have gone away. Speaking that, when I think, as I said in these verses, as I said, the king teaches his people to stand for the truth. My friend, if you don't hear nothing else or anything I've ever preached on in my life, it's time that we stand for the truth and teach the truth. And preach the truth and stand on it and don't compromise for it, my friend, because you'll be better off in the end when you don't compromise God's word and you stand upon the truth. My friend, there is no compromise of God's word. Not only that, but it goes down in verse 2. And he says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. My friend, I started to bring an iron in here today and turn it on and let you see that when I swipe it across clothing or whatever it is and that steam comes out and you can hear it searing, I want to paint a visual in your mind this morning of a hot iron and paint it in your mind as that iron is just laying on top of their head, my friend, and searing in their brain. Brother Jay thought it was going to punch him. Sear in their brain. And frying, and you can hear it sizzling in there, my friends, and searing them and branding them. It says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, speaking lies of hypocrisy, those that are lying, my friend, the demons of the verse 1, it talked about expounding their doctrines, and my friend, not only directly, but indirectly. You say, what do you mean? My friend, indirectly using you and me to get the advantage across, using humans to get the word out. The demons are in there getting the word out, my friends. And unfortunately, we're duped into that sometimes. And we're allowed to be used by Satan to disrupt, to damn, and destroy what God has done in the churches today. And my friend, listen to me. The only way, as I said, that he can get in here and disrupt anything God is doing is you got to bring him in, my friends. And I tell you all the time, be wise, be vigilant, be awake, be alert, listen, look, and hear, my friends, and you will see nonsense going on. And when it comes, put the smack down on it. Amen. Put the smack down on it. Amen. Stand up. Get a backbone. Amen. Christians are weak. They're weak. We ain't weak. We got the power of God in us. Be strong in the Lord. Claim your victory in Him. Be strong in Jesus. Don't be defeated and don't live defeated, my friends, because Satan then has got you exactly where he wants you. Oh, my friend, I tell you, God is blessing this church beyond measure. And I tell you, every week when you see people join and be baptized, oh, I don't like to give Satan no credit, but my friends, he's at work. He's at work. And we need to be conscious about that and alert about that. And it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, that having their conscience seared with a hot iron, that means having it branded in their mind. They're branded, they're scarred, they're seared in their conscience, my friend, permanently defected of a moral life of hypocrisy. They're scarred by sin in their life and things of that nature, having their mind seared with an iron. Can you just imagine? They warped, my friend. Satan has got into them and warped their mind and worked what they say and everything else, seared their consciousness, my friend, into that hypocrisy and lies and things of that nature, my friend. That's how Satan dupes them and keeps them, my friend, and uses them. He sears their consciousness in their mind so they don't even know, my friend, what they're doing. I've ran into people, my friends, that are well up in their ages, in 60, 70, and 80, 90 years old, my friend, that still go around reaping havoc in every church that they attend. And it's, they're mean-spirited, they're evil, and they're mean, and they're mad. And my friend, they do nothing but want to tear and disrupt what the bride of Christ and what people are doing in the church. And they don't change, because that's the only way they've ever been lived for 100 years. Yeah. Amen, oh me. But guess what? I can tell you right now, they come to Crossroad, they come to the long church to be doing that in. I can tell you that right now. It don't matter to me if you're 80, 90, or 100 years old. My friend, it's about the Word of God and what thus saith the Word of God says, my friend, and preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. And that's what Paul was instructing Timothy to do, and that's what I do every day of my life, as my friend. I preach it and I teach it and I deliver it to you on a Sunday morning, my friend, so you can take it and apply it to your life and read it and find out in your life what it is that God is speaking to you about, what it is that God is telling you in the Scripture, my friends, what it says. Not only that, but it goes on and talks about in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from the meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which what? Believe. Who is that it's talking about? It's talking about us, though, them that believe and know the truth. He says, you know, there's two examples of the demonic doctrine right here listed in verse 3. One of them was what? Prohibiting against marriage. And the other was what? Talking about you can't eat. Abstaining from certain food. A guy told me he made everything and all that he made was good. Amen. And I like to eat. Amen. 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 I need. Amen. I just had some pork yesterday. Amen. Amen. Before I ate it, I asked God to bless it. Amen. You know, and it says in verse 4 and 5, for every creature of God is what? Good. And nothing to be refused, if it be received with what? Thanksgiving. For it is sanctified, it is consecrated by the word of God and what? Prayer. Guess what that means? I'm going to get me a deep fried pork chop soaked in Crisco oil, and I'm going to eat about 5 of them. I pray God's blessing over it. So if somebody told you you can't have a fried pork chop, just come to lunch with me. I'll get you one. I get in trouble for you because I'll bless it and I'll read the scripture that says God said everything was made for good. And I'll bless it and you can eat it and we'll have a merry time. Amen. And I get a boat of gravy to smother it in as well. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. Country fried cooking right there. Amen. Steve, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? Stephen, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? When I talked about that boat of gravy and that fried pork chop right there, your mouth went to water and your tummy went to growling. Amen. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. Not only are we getting fed in the Word, but you got to go find a pork chop after this. Amen. Amen. Preaching His Word, man. Getting with it. Talking about, man, I'm telling you right now. Woo! Oh, God is good. Oh, He's talking about that. Not only that, but when you look at verses 6 through 11, the king teaches us to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. The king teaches us to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Look back with me at verse 6 and 11. It said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be what? A good minister of Jesus Christ. Not only would that pork chop perk you up, but you'll be nourished up. Amen. Nourished up in the words, and nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Nourished up. That means being trained up. You know, Paul and Timothy went around teaching those, training them up. The good king, the king's shepherd of sheep, trains them, teaches them in the ways they should go and in the word of God. Nourished up, being trained. Timothy teaches his brethren God's word. He instructs himself not only to be a good doctrine of the word. It says, be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good what? Good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Good doctrine you have followed. Timothy has been faithfully conformed to the truth Paul was teaching him. My friends, we need to be conformed to the truth of God's word that we're teaching. Being raised up, being a good minister, preaching the doctrine. The doctrine is the word of God. Teaching the gospel, the truth that Jesus loves and Jesus saves. My friend, teaching that and training them up. Not only that, but he says in verse 7, but refuse. He said, but refuse. That means reject profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto what? Godliness. He says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Refuse, reject. When we read this verse, it can say, avoid praying or profane and fabricated myths, and exercise yourself to be godly. Exercise yourself to be godly. Stay away from fabricated things and myths, my friends. And let me tell you, in the society we live in, and the time we live in, oh my land, Satan can have some people conjure up and fabricate some things. Amen. Anybody ever fabricated something about you? Y'all there? Amen. Boy, they can come up with some stuff, and you sit there and say, my lands, where in the world did you come up with that from? Good gracious, how many days did it take you to come up with that? Because you sure got a lot of time on your hands. And since you got so much time on your hands, I got a job for you to do. Amen. That's what we used to do, and when we were working in the world and stuff like that, we need to carry it over in the church when somebody starts mealy-mouthing and ring, say, oh, you got a lot of time on your hands to be fabricating that up and talking about that. Come on down. I got something for you to do. Amen. Put them to work, and after a while, they don't want to say that no more because they know every time they do, you're going to put them to work. Put them out there weed-eating, pulling weeds, cutting trees, sweating, getting up in the attic, telling them they got to paint the rafters up there. in the middle of a summer when it's 100 degrees outside. I mean, 150 up there, you know? And think about it, having your conscience seared. Y'all with me? Seared with an iron. Put them up in the attic in 100 degree weather, it'll be seared within about a minute. Amen. But we don't want them seared in the Word of God. Seared in God's Word. Seared in the Word of God. Seared in what God tells us to do. But he said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He said, for bodily exercise profited a little. It's good. You should exercise. It says it profits a little. But godliness is what? Profitable unto what? All things. It says, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Now is and that which is to come. In this verse, it can be paraphrased like this. For physical exercise, it had limited value.
Right.
Had limited. Physical exercise had limited value. Some of y'all really going to highlight this verse and take it home. But godliness, the result of spiritual exercise, it has unlimited value.
Amen.
We need to exercise ourselves unto godliness because its value is unlimited. Amen. It's unlimited. Verse 9 says, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It said in verse 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in what? The living God. Trust in the living God who is the Savior of what?
All
men, but especially to those that
believe.
Do you understand what that is saying? Jesus died and is the Savior of all mankind.
Amen.
But he's Savior and Lord to those that believe. To those that's asking to come into their heart to be their personal Lord and Savior. He is the Savior to them. But he is, regardless of what people say and regardless of what they do, he is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of all. The Savior of all, my friends, is what it's saying in this verse. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach. We both toil, is what it's saying, and labor to obtain the goal of salvation, the goal that we invite Jesus in our heart. Paul is saying, here, exercise thyself spiritually and to be godly. My friend, we need to exercise ourselves daily to be in the Word of God, to be spiritual, to be reading His Word, to have a prayer time so that you and I can live a life that exemplifies Christ, so that we can live a godly life in Him. It takes exercise. It takes exercise. It takes exercise if you want to lose weight. It takes exercise if you want to get fit and buff up some muscles. Papa Ron over here, he's been working out 3 days a week, and he got some biceps. He's been working out with some barbells. He getting fit. He's been working on that treadmill and everything else. But what does it take? Commitment. Exercise. It takes devotion to do that. And the same thing in our life as living the Christian life, it takes us exercising God's Word out in our life. It takes us exercising our prayer time, our prayer life. It takes it every day for us to wake up and submit ourselves to the Word of God and to what the Lord wants us to do. It takes that every day in our lives. It takes that for us to be all that God desires us to be. For us to be all that the Lord wants us to be. It takes that every day in our life. So he said not only that, but he said in verse 11, these things command and teach. Command and teach. Teaching precedes commanding. He said these things command and teach and put in the remind in the mind of Timothy, who is eager to teach, my friend. And we need to teach. And it says command and teach what God's Word says. My friends, we got to disciple. We've got to train. We've got to teach, my friend, the Word of God and bring people up the way that God intends them to be brought up to get them some roots, get them established, get them grounded in the Word of God so that they can go out and be ministers that God is wanting them to be. So that they can go out and be the next churches that God intends us to be. So the youth can go out and be taught. And my friend, the next generation of those that might be singing up in the praise team. Next generation of those that will be singing up there. The next generation of those that might be preaching. Might be preaching. Next generation of those that might be teaching children's church or singing. Maybe leading worship. Maybe Batman being Superman. I don't know. Being the next ones that teach and lead. And we're training them, instilling in them, teaching in them godly values and principles that they can live by, walk by, and and be guided by, that is going to be profitable in their life for us to follow. Oh, he says these things, my friend, for us to do. Not only that, but my friend, when I see these verses, number three, I think of the king teaches us to take heed to his ministry. Teaches us to take heed to his ministry. Look back at verse 12 through 16. It says this. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou a what? An example of the believers in what? In word. In what? Conversation. In what? Charity. In what? Spirit. In what? And in what? Purity. He goes down, he lists them, that Timothy was young. The Greek word was applied to men here 40 years of age and younger is what it's talking about. He says, don't let them, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the what? Timothy was a leader. And here Paul was saying, and is calling out, he's telling him, even though you're young, you're a leader, be a what? An example to who, Brother Jerry? The believer. Be an example to the believer, he's saying. Be an example. That's for you and me. We're to be the examples that Christ desired us to be. We're to be the examples for him. Who else is there for us to model our life after?
No one.
No one but what? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Christ. And if we want, my friends, others to come and be a part of what God is doing and model our lives, then, my friends, we got to live it in front of them. We got to be the example to the believer, and not only to the believer, but the unbeliever. We got to be an example about that. I tell you all the time, and I've said it a lot of times, you might be the only Bible somebody is reading. And then when they look at your life, what do they see? What do they see? When they see you, what do they see? My friends, and sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of the times, our actions speak louder than our words.
Amen.
Our actions speak louder than our words. And not only that, my friend, but sometimes the truth comes out of your words. Amen. Amen. Oh, me. Oh, listen to me. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in words. In conversation, in charity, in spirits, and in faith, and in purity. You know what? When I think about that, the king teaches us to take heed to the ministry. My friends, a whole lot of times, a whole lot of time. Oh, listen to me. The truth is that if we're going to get ourselves in trouble, it's going to be with our mouth. If we're going to get ourselves in trouble, it's going to be with our mouth. What does he say? Let no man despise thy youth. He said, but be thou an example of the believers in what? In word. In word. In word. You know, and I thought about that in Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 10:19, it says, in a multitude of what?
Words.
There wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Wise. I've met a lot of people that are quiet. A lot of people that don't do nothing. Brother John, where is he at? Brother John's one of them, not you. Brother John, Brother John Hoyt, he's running around here. That's a quiet man. But it reminds me of my father-in-law. He was wise. He was wise. You know, and that's what the scripture says here. Be wise. Proverbs 18:13. Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it. Y'all ever had somebody answer what you're trying to say before you got through with it? Y'all ever had that happen to y'all? He that answers, a lot of y'all right now looking at your spouses. Y'all looking at each other right now. It says, he that answered the matter before he heareth it, it is the folly and shame unto him. I love y'all. Somebody over here said, uh-oh. And then Proverbs 13:3. What's Proverbs 13:3 say? It says that he that keepeth his mouth keepeth what? His life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall what? Have destruction. Here was Paul and Timothy being trained. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. Folks, wouldn't it be, and I preached this Wednesday night, wouldn't it be awesome if integrity and a handshake and your word was your bond still today? But you know what, my friend, for you and me as Christian brothers and sisters, it still should be a handshake and the word be your bond. Amen. Still should be that way, my friends. But he's saying in word. He's saying in word. And when I see that, it says, be an example of the believers in word. That means conversation. And then it says conversation. That means conduct. And it says charity. That means love for those treating him well and those that's not treating him so well. In spirit means a proper attitude. In faith, that means trusting God in good and bad times. And in purity, that means sexual purity and integrity of life. Man, if we ever need to preach on something like that, it's today. It's today when they're teaching our kids from the time they go to kindergarten and everything else that it's okay to live this way, it's okay to live that way, and it's okay that I'm going to provide this for you so you can go out and live any way you want to. My friends, that's what they're doing today. But it's our job to teach them the word and the right way in what God tells us to do. Amen? And he goes on to say in verse 13, till I come and give an attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to the doctrine. Commit to and practice reading and exhortation to the doctrine. He's saying in verse 13, in his Ephesian ministry, Timothy is to read and teach the scripture and exhort God's people to obey the truths they have learned. And my friend, that's the same thing we need to do today. Teach, read, learn, apply to it, give attendance to reading, exhortation to the doctrine, to the word of God. We've got to do it, folks. It's not enough just to come in on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night or a Wednesday and get the message. My friend, we got to get it to ourselves on a daily life and daily living, get into the word so that we can apply the word, live a life that God intends us to live, and that we can live a victorious life and not a defeated life. And I promise you, when you're in the word and you have a quiet time of prayer time, those things in your life, you can begin to live a victorious life, my friend, and be victorious in that. You know, and I think about Tom and Serena and all that she's been through in the past 3 months. And many times, you know, I visit her and we talked and prayed. And my friends, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for their faith in God, they probably would never step foot back in a church again. You know? But because they were grounded in the word, because they raised their kids in the word, because they have faith in God's word, my friend, they believe that God is in control of all things and he's going to work it all out for his good, to those that love him, to those that are called according to his purpose. And my friend, they keep on keeping on for Jesus. Keep on keeping on for the Lord and smiling for him. But my friend, if you wasn't solid as a rock like that, when the things that come your way, it can blow you sideways, my friend. But listen, the storms of life, when they come your way, it's easy to make it through the storms of life when you built your foundation upon the word of God and the principles of God's word, your faith upon the word, your faith and belief in Jesus, my friend, and in God, and your prayer life is where it needs to be. Oh, there's going to be storms in life. They're going to come, my friend, and they might kick your feet out from under you. They might kick your feet out from under you, but when you're in the word, you can gain it back up. Put it back up there and keep on going. There might be going away another time, and you might get your feet knocked back under you again. But with God's help, he'll reach out his hand and grab you, and he'll pull you back up. And you can keep on going. He's like, uh-oh, he's fixing to jump in my arms. I've seen this happen when Brother Tim does this. You know, but you can keep on going and keep on going. Keep on going in him. But not only that, but he goes on to say in verse 14, 15, and 16. He says, neglect not thy gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. He said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Give thyself, meditate on these things. Meditate on them. Give thyself wholly to them. Render thyself to them. Be completely absorbed in them. Give thyself to them. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them is what he's saying. Entirely. Holy means entirely. Give yourself entirely to the Lord and to God. Listen, he wants to be Lord and boss of your life anyhow. It'll be a whole lot better if we give it to him. And that way it's not a continuous battle and struggle going on. And then not only that, but verse 16 in closing says, take heed unto thyself and unto the what? Doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He says, keep these things. Timothy says, keep constant watch of these. Take heed over both his own spiritual life. Take heed to what the word is saying. Take heed to what God is saying. Take heed and teach others the doctrine. Continue in these things. Continue, for in doing this, you will both save yourself in them. You'll both save yourself in them and hear them. Folks, we're to continue in the Word of God. We're continue to keep God's Word and do what God tells us to do. And he says in the fourth thing that the King teaches us to be devoted to his Word. Look back at verse 13 and closing with me. Verse 13, he says, look back at verse 12. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou what? An example of the believers. My friend, we're to be examples of the believers to brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to be the examples to them that God called us to be. And then he says, not only that, but in word, in conversation, in conduct, in charity, which is love, in the spirit, in faith, and in purity, my friends, we're to keep the doctrine. And that's what the Lord has called us to do. My friend, teach it, preach it, apply it, my friend, and be the example God has called us to be. Because listen to me, friends. In the day and age that we're living in, one day, by the way things are looking, we might not be able to have the Word of God. They're wanting us to turn in all our guns and ammunition now. That's just the start. They're going to have a tough time in my house, brother. They have a really tough time, Mark, in my house getting my guns. Because my wife and I have been stocking up every week. My wife and I. Not only that. We stocking up, man. My wife, she probably has hers too. But it's somewhere in here. We went, and we got legally armed. So now I can arrange a meeting with Jesus and be okay. Oh, listen to me. Folks, in all seriousness, we need to get serious about God's Word. We need to get serious about teaching others. We need to get serious about training others and discipling others. Because the way this country is headed, my friend, it is fastly taking what this country was founded on, the Judea, moral, ethical, Christian values of God, and this country is totally doing this. Walking away. My friend, if it's not for you and me, it's a sad state where we're headed. Be vigilant. Be wise. Study up. Pray up. Be an example of what God wants us to be. Maybe you're here today and you've never invited Jesus in your heart to be your Lord and Savior. You come forward. I share with you in Scripture what you must do to be saved. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home or a church family. My friend, I'd love to be a pastor of this church. I'd love to be your family of God. Maybe there's something that God's impressed upon you through the message that you want to come pray about. You come on. The altars are open, my friends. Will you stand with me? Be obedient to the call of God upon your life today.